Hey guys, welcome back to my podcast. Dorothea here. What? How's it going? Happy Monday or whatever day you're listening to this. I have some exciting news to share with you guys. This podcast is going to be kind of a tell-all. Like, I'm going to be an open book and share with you some more personal history of mine. It's something that I've wanted to and plan on sharing on my channel in Portuguese because I've had a lot of people request more information about me, more information about how I got to where I am and kind of, you know, my past, personal history with relationships and how I got into traveling and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm going to share it with you now here in English. And I will be making that video in Portuguese here shortly. It'll probably be like a series of videos, kind of dividing each topic up individually. But it's something that I feel more adept at talking about in English because it is my native language. But the exciting news that I have is that I'm going to be opening this month, March, with a Patreon account. This is something that I've wanted to do for a while, and I've felt a lot of conflicted feelings about because it's not like me to ask for especially financial help. It's something I've talked about in a different previous podcast, just issues that we as people, as a society have around this topic of money. And I've just come to the conclusion after lots of long thought about it that, you know what? There's no problem. There's no problem with asking for it. And if people want to give it, then that's great. If they don't, then that's great. But my reality is that I make a living off of producing content, whether that's here on my podcast, on my YouTube channel, on Instagram, whatever. And that's my way of making an income for myself. So a lot of those channels, literally channels, my YouTube channel and other channels of platforms are totally free. They are all totally free. And you can choose right as of right now to become a member on my YouTube channel. That's optional. You get certain privileges and perks for doing that. But Patreon is just a great platform that I've had a lot of other friends talk to me about and I've researched a lot about. And it just seems like such a great place to continue producing more content in exchange for a donation of your choice, monthly donation. And there's different tiers that you can join to get certain perks and privileges. And it's a site that I plan on being very active on and creating a lot of content, especially for my Portuguese speaking audience, for like English tips and just kind of other tell all area where you do have to pay to participate, but it's something that I can do and get compensated for in a way that I'm excited for because my whole income stream is based off of the internet, and I am in dire need of updating all of my tools. My computer, most especially, is 5 years old. 5 years old, guys. Oh my gosh. 5 years old. And I bought it used. It's on its last leg. Like, it crashes on me all the time. I've had to go in and wipe it clean twice because it had a virus. It's just in really bad shape. Like, the actual charging cable is completely frayed. You can see the wires. It's just, I need a new computer. And it's like going to be, I really want to invest in a new MacBook. I love Mac. That's just my personal preference there. So I'm, you know, that's like a $2,000 investment right there off the bat. A new camera equipment would be nice. I have a nice camera, but and it serves its purpose, but it's also really banged up and it's over 5 years old. So I'm excited to be updating my equipment here hopefully soon. And it's just an area of my life that I haven't been able to save for and kind of budget that in yet because I just can't justify that kind of an expense at this point. And so I really think that with Patreon, with help of this, with more boosting myself in that area and inviting others to join me in that, it's going to be a really profitable, not just for me, for, you know, this goal that I have of getting new equipment, but also profitable for you guys to get different content of mine and stuff that really is like worth making a donation for, and knowing that it's going directly to me and that you're supporting me in my endeavors to keep on producing more content that is both paid for and free on my part. So I'm really excited about that. It's not live yet. I'm actually writing the script for that promo video, which I'll put on my Patreon and also on my channel to direct people in that direction. So yeah, I'm really excited about it. I don't usually script out videos, but it's a topic that I don't want to, how do I say this? I want to be able to talk about it in a fluid way that makes sense, and kind of giving a little more backstory as well to the how and why of my channel, and you know, incentivizing people to make a donation and to help me out in that way, because every little bit really does help. And I have enough of a platform where I feel like this could really work, and I just need to swallow my pride and accept help where people want to give it, and invite people to do such a thing and make it easy for them to do it and know that they're supporting me and it's not going somewhere else. So keep an eye out for that. I'll probably be announcing it when it does come out live, here on my podcast, as well as obviously on my channel and everywhere else. So without further ado, let's jump into the topic today. I get asked a lot about my unconventional lifestyle, about my history with travel, how it all got started. Here I am a week away from turning 30, and I'm reflecting a lot about my life, about the last 10 years or so, feeling very adultish, very much like a grown-up, a woman. I've blossomed into this human, and it's interesting for me to look back and think about, wow, okay, I'm a mom right now. That's my current reality. I am a woman. I have been through a lot. Could talk about my childhood. I could talk about my teenage years, high school. I could talk about my early 20s. All of it pieced together made me, and really makes me, who I am today. And like it does for everyone. But, you know, it's interesting looking back and reflecting and thinking, wow, what if this had been different? What if that hadn't happened? What if I hadn't met that person or something like that? And it's easy to get trapped in this cycle of thinking like, wow, like my life could have turned out so differently, and kind of regretful thinking like, oh my gosh, what if this, what if that? And I try not to get stuck in that trap. I've made the mistake of doing that in the past, and it really doesn't get you anywhere quick. At all. Like you don't progress with that style of thinking, because the fact is that those people came into your life, those experiences happened to you, and you went to those places or you did those things, and you are paying the consequences now, whether positively or negatively. But whether positively or negatively the effect was is kind of irrelevant, because you are where you are now because of those things. You know, if those things hadn't happened to you, then you wouldn't be where you are right now. And me personally, I like where I am. Yes, my life isn't perfect. Okay. But it's really mind bending to try and think like, oh, what if, what if, what if? So what if things had been different for me? I don't know. But I also know that as crazy as my life has been, let's just say the last 10 years or so, wow, I've learned so much from all of it. So let's jump back about 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I was 20 years old. I was in hair school, just almost graduating from hair school as a cosmetologist. And later I went in and got my master esthetician license, which is all things skincare, waxing, facials, microderms, all of that kind of stuff. I was going into the workplace. I had already been working as a leasing agent for about a year at an apartment complex in Utah, which is also where I was going to school. And I had met this guy about a year previous, and we had been dating. I'm going to keep him completely anonymous, on the off chance that anyone listening might know him or anything. I just feel like it's not even relevant to know his name. But basically, I had met this guy. I was dating this guy for about 10 months. And it was not looking back, it was toxic. Like, it was not a great relationship. We had a lot of problems. We fought a lot, but we also had a lot of feelings for each other. And what happened? We broke up for about 6 months. There was a lot of trash talking, as you do at that age, especially. I feel like I was just talking to all of my girlfriends about, like, this jerk who I had been dating. You know, it was very love-hate, which I'm like, wow, I really think a lot of you might be able to relate to this in your dating history, because especially at that age, emotions are high, hormones are high, everything's kind of like running its course, and you don't really, it can feel very out of control. It was interesting because about 6 months after breaking up and him still being on my mind quite a lot, we kind of fell back into touch. Like, we hadn't spoken for a while, and then he sent me a message one day, and we still had a lot of mutual friends. We were still living in the same town, and we just started talking, and one thing led to another. We started hanging out again, and the feelings were definitely still there. And before you know it, we're dating again. Like, he is my boyfriend again. And of course, I had to live with the fact that I hadn't said the nicest things about him to my friends, and they were all like, what? Like, I thought this was the jerk. I thought this was the asshole who you dated before. Why are you dating him again? And I had to backtrack and explain myself. Very, again, very stupid. Looking back, I'm like, what in the world was I thinking? But once again, I fell into this loop of feeling out of control, feeling like my emotions had just gotten a hold of me, and I had let this train take its course once again. And before I knew it, it was literally within a year, we had a conversation which basically went something like, well, I love you, you love me, we're probably going to get married sometime, so why don't we just get married? It wasn't anything romantic. It wasn't anything like, I love you, I can't live without you, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. It was more literally like, let's save money on taxes, let's save money on rent and move in together. But moving in together was its own issue because both of our families are extremely religious, Mormon families. And in the Mormon religion, it's like so taboo. You cannot live together unless you're married. We were already basically living together. We were both raised in these Mormon households, but neither of us were active, as they say, in the church. We weren't going to church. We weren't paying our tithing. We weren't in the church, but to maintain the appearance of, you know, pleasing our families basically and not telling them that we're moving in together without being married, we were like, yeah, let's like save our family some hurt and basically get married and live together, which we're already doing. But anyways, we had our reasons, we had our logic, and he put a ring on it. He proposed to me and I said yes. And at the fresh age of 21, I got married. Oh my God. Like, it's crazy to even think about this now because it seems like another lifetime ago. Like I said, I was freshly graduated from hair school. At one point I was working four different jobs, but I was always shuffling like at least two or three jobs at the same time. I was insanely busy, just working nonstop. I was getting married to this guy. I remember on my wedding day feeling like, I don't want to do this. Like, it was more than cold feet. Like, I had a lump in my throat just feeling like shaking and nerves and like, it was so horrible. It was so horrible. I remember just feeling so embarrassed. Like, I can't do this. But all these people are here. All these people have traveled so far. All this money has been spent. Like, it was more terrifying to me, as terrifying as it was to get married. It was more terrifying to me to disappoint all of these people in my life and to back out of it literally the day of or the night before. In fact, interestingly enough, little side story, they say that there's always something that goes wrong at these big events like weddings and stuff. And the night before we were supposed to get married, we realized that we didn't have our marriage license because we had completely forgotten to go pick it up at the office the day before at the city, what is it, like the municipal building. And my mom reminded me 11 o'clock at night the day before, and we were getting married on a Saturday. The office was going to be closed, and I just went into a panic attack. Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? We can't get married. And like now thinking about it, I'm like, that was, if not like the universe, not just a sign from the universe, but like the universe shaking me into this awareness, like, don't do it, you're not supposed to go through with this. But I was so nervous, and basically we found a solution. We called my fifth grade teacher, 10-year-old me. My teacher was, or is, the uncle of the city mayor. So here we are calling my fifth grade teacher, who I haven't spoken to since fifth grade, on the night before my wedding, and begging him for the mayor's number or the secretary or someone to call so that someone can go pick it up tomorrow, the next day, and we could legally get married, which is what happened. So we found a solution, but the whole time I was just not in a good place. We got married immediately, like immediately from that first night. I knew it was a mistake. The honeymoon was horrible. Like, we went to Bermuda, we had a cruise, but the whole time I was gorging myself on food because I'd been so stressed previously, and I was very disordered eating at the time. I had been months of being bulimic and just so stressed out about fitting into my wedding dress and all of this other craziness that I went on a crazy binge. You know, if you, anyone's been on a cruise ship, you know that it's an open buffet 24/7, and I would literally like wake up before him to go like eat my brains out and throw it up. Sorry if this is so graphic for some of you, but it was just, it was so bad. Like, and he, as well-intentioned as he was, and I think he would agree with me now if he were part of this conversation, but he's not, so I'll just have to kind of speak for him. But just trust me that I've had these conversations with him now in hindsight, and he knows that the pressure that he put on me, not just at the time, before when we were dating, after we got married, and for the whole duration of our marriage, it was so problematic. Like, he really didn't know, he didn't know better, but he just didn't have the life experience either, so I can't really blame him, but he put this intense pressure on me to look a certain way, to be a certain way, to act a certain way, to weigh, literally weigh a certain amount on the scale, to have a certain body type. It was very, when I say toxic, it was like, I hate to use the word abusive, although I can honestly say that it was very verbally abusive, never physically abusive, but it was so bad. I was miserable. We were married for 3 years, and I remember after 3 months of getting married and constantly fighting since day one, usually about this topic of my body, which is not a subject that I feel like any couple, any healthy couple, should be debating. You know, like, if you're not comfortable with my body, then like, why are we even together? That's a good question right there. But I, again, me being at the age and point in my life that I was too insecure to look at the situation objectively, and I believed him. Like, I believed everything he said about my body, and I took it to heart. And then another part of me was like, what? This is so crazy. Like, are you really going to let this man dictate what you eat and how many times you work out and what you're doing and all, like, really? And it's so ironic because my weight fluctuated so much with him. I think I was the skinniest and the fattest I had ever been while I was with him. And no matter where I was on that scale, it was never good enough. So anyways, I like to say that he, you know, he's a good person. He's evolved a lot since then as well. But we just, in the end, we make better friends. We were not a good, well-paired couple. And he loved me for my potential. Like, he really loved me, but he really loved a person that I wasn't. And he wanted to make and mold me into this image of perfection in his eyes, according to him, not to anyone else. And I allowed that. I allowed that into my life, whether consciously or unconsciously, it doesn't really matter. And I lived like that for 3 years. And 3 months into the marriage, we were mid-fight, and he kind of I remember it was like 2 a.m. I was crying. We were both exhausted. And he just turns to me and kind of as like an exhale, he mumbles under his breath, like, well, we could always just get a divorce. And immediately I started bawling. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no, 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 we can't get a divorce. Like, to me, divorce spelled failure. And I was just thinking, I was way too concerned with what other people would think. And, you know, we made this promise. We've made our vows. We've said what we, like, we, it's too late. Like, there's no turning back. And I was so dead set on making it work and forcing a round peg into a square hole. I was just like, make it fit, make it work. This has to work, you know, until eventually 3 years later, I woke up to the realization that, wow, this really isn't working. I really am miserable. And it really took those 3 years of misery for me to wake up and realize, okay, it's been 3 years. You've given this your absolute best for 3 years, really for 5 years, because it was a total of 5 years that we had been dating and together. And I was 24 years old. I was on my way back from a work trip in Costa Rica where I had been working as an intern for this doctor for about a month and a half. And I was so happy during this internship. I was on cloud nine. It was winter and snowy and cold in Utah where we lived. And I had invited him to come with me, but he had said, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to work. I'm going to do my thing. And I said, okay. So I went by myself on this internship program. Overnight, my life, I woke up in a completely different life. I was in the tropical paradise, Costa Rica. I was with different like-minded, holistic practitioners and people. I was eating very healthy, like extremely clean diet of fruits and vegetables, vegan diet. I was exercising every day. I was swimming, going skinny dipping in the water and like these waterfalls and just freedom. Like, it was pure freedom. And it didn't hit me until the last day when I was getting onto the bus to go to San Jose to get my flight to go back to Salt Lake City. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, really. Like, I know that's a cliche thing to say, but I remember feeling like I was walking into a brick wall when I got on the bus. Like, I actually took a step onto the bus and then took a step off because it was that strong of a pull for me to get off, to not go back. And there was an extension on the program, on the internship program. And I remember thinking, oh, I could just stay here for another 2 weeks and avoid my problems. But then I thought, no. I'm eventually going to have to go back. I have to face my problems. I can't just run away. So I might as well do it now. And I had that whole 5-hour bus ride from where we were to San Jose to really think about, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing with my life? Here I am after having this super high experience, going back to my old life, going back to my marriage, going back to this routine. And it made me question, do I really want this? And I remember thinking, okay, Dot, you've done this for 3 years. You've given it your best. You know, like, it was like my conscience. It was like a third person voice in my head. It was like, you and I both know, but it was really just me. You and I both know that if you don't do anything, you're going to wake up another 3 years from now, 3 years older, in the exact same situation. And that really hit me because I knew it was true. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that 3 years from now, if I didn't change something, then I would wake up in the exact same miserable position. And it was just that quick, literally like a split second decision where I just thought, okay, I'm asking him for a divorce. Like, it wasn't a thought out thing. Of course, I continued to think about it. In fact, I allowed myself on that bus ride for the first time to imagine myself. I was like, okay, it's not going to hurt anyone just to imagine. I'm not going to actually act on it yet. I just want to imagine my life if I asked this man for a divorce. What would I be doing? Where would I be going? Who would I be with? What would I, you know, everything. And I closed my eyes and I had a visionary experience where I literally saw like this farm going into Hawaii, which is where I had an invitation. I had an open invitation at the time from a dear friend of mine to live with and work with her on her family farm on the Big Island. But I had never seen any pictures of the place. I mean, she described it to me, but I didn't really know what it was. So I'm on the bus. I'm swallowing this very hard pill to swallow, which was, you're miserable. Wake up, do something about it. And I allowed myself to imagine, where would I be? What would I be doing? Who would I be with? And I saw myself pulling into this farm. And I kid you not, everything that I imagined happened. Everything. I saw myself learning Spanish. I saw myself traveling to Europe. I saw myself being an au pair. I saw myself traveling around the world, going to South America, doing a lot of things. But the first thing that my vision saw was this farm. And when the day came, very shortly after that, about 2 months later, that I was pulling up to this property and I was, you know, getting to know this new place that I was going to call home in this little bungalow, this one bed, open air, mosquito net, Hawaii living place on the lava, like all of it, all of the rugged living, off the map, off the grid kind of living. I kid you not, it was the exact same that I saw in this vision in my head, which to this day, like, gives me the chills. Like, it's so crazy to think about. I remember seeing the mame trees. I remember seeing the banana plants. I remember seeing the main clubhouse. I saw it all. Like, I saw my bungalow. And when I got there, it was the perfect replica of what I'd seen. So I really know that that tells me that it was a foretelling of my future, basically. So I saw this, I saw myself traveling, doing the things that I always wanted to do, but didn't have the courage to do when I was married or had asked him to do, but he didn't want to spend the money or whatever it was. Within 24 hours of getting home from that trip to Costa Rica, I sat him down and I said, hey, I have some news. I don't remember my exact wording, but basically I was like, I need to ask you for a divorce. Like, you and I both know that we're not happy, and I don't think this is working out. I think we should get a divorce. I remember thinking and expecting the worst, expecting him to throw things and get into a rage and getting all mad and worked up about it. And it was the exact opposite response that he gave me. He actually quite literally curled up into a ball, into the fetal position, and started crying. And he said to me, I know this is my fault. I know I haven't been fair to you. I haven't been nice to you, and I'm sorry. And of course, this makes perfect sense, and I'm sorry that it's come to this, and, you know, very apologetic and all of that. That was the first reaction, which was very unexpected. We ended up living together for another month after that until he found a place. He moved out. My lease was up, our lease was up, so I had that kind of grace period to sell all of our stuff. We had, before then, the year previous, we had bought a house and sold the house for a small profit. And so we basically, from having a house, we had all of the furnishings, the fridge, the couch, bed, everything. So it gave me that time to sell all the stuff, split it all 50-50 with him. We had a few garage sales and just trying to get rid of as much stuff as possible and fit my life into two suitcases. And during that month-long period while we were living together, it was so interesting because it was so it was a roller coaster. It was like one day we'd be happy and laughing together, and we could, for the first time, we could be honest with each other because we knew it was over. Like, the conversation had already been had. We were already on the road to divorce. We were already signing papers, all of that process, which is very drawn out, which to this day I'm like, why is it so freaking easy to get married and so hard to get divorced? Why? It doesn't make any sense. But anyways, we didn't have any kids. We didn't have any really shared assets or shared debts or anything. It was a very clean break, thankfully. Oh my God, thank God. But it was still this month-long process of working it out. And even though his first reaction was apologetic and understanding, he went through his own process as well. I'm sure for many months after, just like I did. And, you know, there were days where he would wake up and he was so mad at me. He would just be in a rage, like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. Like, can't we do therapy? Is there any other solution? I just can't believe that I'm, 28 years old, however old he was, and getting a divorce, and like, I'm a failure. And he was going through a lot of processes. Other days he would cry all day. I'd never seen him cry so much. Like, and some days we were happy and laughing together and joking about the past. And other days we were reflecting on all the good times. And it was just this really crazy month-long breakup. Like, imagine breaking up with your significant other for an entire month, still living together, like sometimes still having sex. Like, in fact, I remember the day that we went into the courthouse to sign the divorce papers, we came home, and I think that was the last time we ever had sex, but we ended up having sex right there on the floor because we didn't have any mattresses or anything because we already sold all of our furniture. And I remember him turning to me and saying, like, right afterwards, and being like, well, that was an amicable divorce. Oh my God. It was like comical. Like, it was just funny, you know, trying to find the humor in this crazy situation, how fast my life turned on a dime from this awakening experience to putting it into action, here's the thing. The reason I sat him down as soon as I did, and I didn't think about it more, because I did have friends in my life who were advising me to wait, to basically, well, okay, Dot, this is a big decision. Divorce is a big deal. Before you even bring it up, you should probably at least sleep on it, or at least like give it a week or so to think about it. And I, as much as I appreciate their advice and their well intentions, I knew myself, and I knew, okay, I have the courage right now because I'm on a high, and I know for a fact that this is the right decision for me. And I also know myself, and I know that if I chicken out, if I don't do this right now, then I'm going to come home and I'm going to slip into old patterns really quickly, and I'm going to lose it. Like, I'm going to lose the courage to do what I need to do, what I know without a shadow of a doubt that I need to do. So that's why I acted on it so quickly. Excuse me. No regrets. It was, I like to say, like, marrying him and divorcing him were both two of the best decisions I ever made in my life. As miserable as I was, and as much as I didn't want to marry him, which sounds crazy, I know, why did you marry him then? But, you know, circumstances, life, all of that. Okay, I married him, and then I divorced him. And it was, in the end, a snapshot of my life. It was 3 years. Yes, they were, you know, good 3 years, 21 to 24. But it was a time in my life that I needed to go through that. And I learned so much. And it was because of how freaking miserable those 3 years were that it gave me so much energy and so much momentum to kick ass after that. Like, I knew, okay, I never want to be that unhappy ever again. I never want to sacrifice myself, my well-being, my goals, my whatever for someone else. Like, if I'm not on the same page as someone else, then it just woke me up to what is healthy and what's not in relationships, which I learned some. And of course, I had to go through some other shit to learn other lessons about relationships. It wasn't like, oh, I went through one and it was everything I ever needed to learn. No, I've definitely made mistakes since then. But it was such a big deal for me to have lived through that. And it really gave me the courage I needed to not only sell all my stuff and buy a one-way ticket to Hawaii, which is crazy in and of itself, but every year after that, after 2014, 2015, 2016, I remember thinking, like, every single year, man, my life just keeps getting crazier. And right when I thought, like, I was at the peak of craziness, it was like, oh my God, like, 2014, nothing is ever going to trump 2014. That was the craziest year. Oh my gosh, 2015 was like three times that. Like, I could tell you so many stories about things that happened to me that year. And then 2016, oh my God, like, it was like just putting gasoline on a fire. Like it stirred something up inside of me that made me want to live and not hold back anymore. I always had this idea of like wanting to speak other languages and being interested in travel and cultures, but I never dedicated enough time or effort or money or whatever into those kind of projects. And so I finally was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn Spanish. I'm going to travel. I'm going to go places. And I made it work on a very shoestring budget, which again is a whole other podcast episode. I know a lot of people want to know about how you can afford travel, what it's like to travel by yourself, where I went and all of that. And, you know, after I was divorced, I was celibate for about a year, exactly a year, actually, like almost to the day. I did not have sex with anyone for a year. In fact, I hardly dated. There were a couple little flings here and there, but there no boyfriends, no nothing like that. And I say that was such a good learning experience for me. Like, I think my body had to physically heal from that trauma, which was my body confidence and feeling like I'm not good enough. I don't want to be naked in front of anyone. I don't want to show myself. It has to really mean something now. It can't just be here and there and everywhere, like whatever, you know, like I have to really want it and I have to really feel it with someone in order to give someone that part of me. And that was a really great gift that I gave myself, because I think sexually you can get into another trap of, you know, just opening your legs a little too much. And I'm all for sexual freedom and women expressing themselves, men expressing themselves and being liberated in that way. But I think there's a healthy and a not so healthy way to do it. And for me at that time, freshly divorced, it was not a time for me to fuck around. Quite frankly, I just needed to regather myself and my image of myself and who am I and what am I all about. I needed to heal from that past relationship. And I'm so glad that I did, because when I re-entered that field of dating and sex and all of that, it felt so much more like, yeah, I'm doing this now because I want to. And it's not about someone telling me what I need to do or pressuring me. No, like I am perfectly free and capable of doing whatever I want in this arena with a partner who is, maybe not compatible, because they weren't all compatible after that, but, you know, in a way that's, we agree upon, you know, what's the word? I can't think of the word, but, yeah, where we both want it and it's, there's no pressure. There's none of that toxicity, which there definitely was in my marriage. Man, so much that I learned from that. And it kickstarted my 3 or 4 months in Hawaii, which is, again, worth its own episode. I could break this down so many times. I could write novels and books about it. There's so much to say. But basically, that time in Hawaii was healing, was extremely healing for me. I had so many breakthroughs during that time about myself. I worked through a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. I felt like a failure in a lot of ways. I felt like, I don't know, just kind of regathering my identity. Who am I really? And then from there, it was really just a matter of who do you know? It wasn't about even necessarily what languages you know, which I was learning Spanish and then later Portuguese, but really who do you know? Because almost every single travel after that, which I think I took something like 25 flights in 2015. Like I was flying constantly. I was hardly in any one place for more than like 3 or 4 weeks, if that. Some places I would stay for 3 or 4 days and then be up and moving, or a week and then be moving. It was just a very hectic time in my life, but I loved it. But it was all based on, okay, someone invited me to do something in another place, so I'm going to go there. Okay, I made a friend and they invited me to go visit them in Italy. Okay, I'll go there. Oh, I met someone and they live in Peru. I'm going to go visit them there. And, you know, just connecting all of these crazy itineraries and making it happen, making it work. And it never ceases to amaze me now, especially looking back. My life has slowed down a little bit more. I'm a mom. and I'm, you know, in the groove doing my thing. I'm not traveling like I used to. I have an actual contract, rent contract here. I'm back in the US. Like, my life looks very different now, but travel is definitely still a big part of it. It's still part of my future. And I love travel, but it's not, I'm not in the same phase that I was. And I think it's just incredible to think about, like, oh my God, it's all about who you know. It really is all about the connections that you have. So a lot of people ask me, like, what's the biggest piece of advice you would give to someone who wants to travel? Or what would you tell someone who wants to come to the US? Like, what's the biggest thing that could help me? And there is nothing better than who you know, the connections you make. And that's not even necessarily someone you need to know personally right away, like in person. You could meet so many people nowadays from the internet. You obviously be careful. I'm not advocating for any Craigslist crazies out there, but yeah, be careful what you walk into, but definitely be a networker, be a social butterfly, do what you need to do to get out and meet people from every part of the world. And like I always say, the biggest compliment anyone can ever pay me is to say, if you're ever in Sao Paulo, then come visit me. You have a place to stay. Or if you're ever in England, or if you're ever in Australia, or whatever part of the world, it's like when people say that to me, even if it's just something nice that they want to say, I take it to heart. And I always tell them, well, thank you for the invitation. You never know. Like, I might just take you up on that, because, and I have many times, and it's a oh God, it's a whole other subject. But anyways, I feel like I'm getting carried away. This is already 42 minutes of me talking about this. I wanted to share that part of my history about being married, about getting divorced, finding the courage to do what you love, and being yourself throughout all of it. It's a process, and I've definitely learned a lot, and I feel like I'm a completely transformed woman now at 30. If I could only see myself, like if I could, maybe I'll do this as an exercise later, but like writing a letter to my past self saying, man, just hold on, you know, like just hold on. Things are going to get a lot better. You're going to work through a lot and you're going to get on the other side and you're going to be so glad you got through it. So I hope this podcast serve to inspire you and help you out throughout your day, maybe take your mind off of some things, maybe inspire you to make some radical changes in your own life. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review below wherever you're listening, on Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever, Anchor. They're all good. So please let me know how I'm doing. I would love to get some more feedback, and I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.